It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Well, I hope everyone is ready for a good push and pull throughout the show today, because that's exactly what you're going to get. We're going to start with a little bit of a pull. You're going to enjoy this. Now, you know that in the elections of 2010, the Republicans dramatically retook control of the House of Representatives for the 112th Congress. That is, the Republicans will have the House, Democrats will still have the Senate, and, of course, the White House. Now, in the last 2 years, all of 2009, all of 2010, we've had Democrats in control of all of the above. So all of the executive branch, all of the legislative branch. And unfortunately, too much of the judicial branch. However, when the executive branch, led by the president, and the legislative branch, led by Pelosi in the House, Reid in the Senate, what you end up with is, together, is coercion. You end up with all sorts of coercion. If they all want the same sort of thing, they're going to work towards it. And they're going to pass unconstitutional laws. As a matter of fact, I'll start with a push, since that will be a better segue for the way I open this segment. This has to do with Dirty Harry Reid and his overt act of betrayal by both houses of Congress, both the Senate and the House, thanks to Harry Reid. Now, keep in mind, it is a lame duck session, but the Democrats are still in control until, what, January 3rd, January 4th? So I predicted this back in August even, of 2010. That during the time that the lame duck session will happen between the elections in November and 2 months later when the new politicians take office in January is going to be potentially the most dangerous time politically in America. We've had some very dangerous pieces of legislation passed since then. Here's one of them. Let me read this story to you. It says, well, just in time for the rigged vote on the fake food safety bill in the House and the Senate, CBS News claims that terrorists in a place far, far away were planning to poison food in hotels and restaurants in the United States. CBS News chief investigative correspondent Armin Ketanyan reports that the latest terror attacks to America involves the possible use of poisons, simultaneous attacks targeting hotels and restaurants at many locations over a single weekend. Now I ask you to think about this and figure out how could they have possibly ever done this. It stinks like a rat from the start. This is Joseph Goebbels in action. You tell a lie no matter how big, no matter how many times, eventually people are going to start to believe it. The terrorism boogeyman. That's why 9/11 happened. We got 9/11 that was completely perpetrated, backed by the U.S. government and known. Look up any 9/11 related information, you're going to find this. And it was a hard pill for me to swallow. I did not want to believe that the U.S. government was behind anything to do with 9/11. We purely were the victims as the news reports came out. You look into it and there's absolutely no way possible it could have possibly happened. Scientifically speaking, and also speaking by the manner of timing, that this could have possibly been random. It could have been some sort of terrorist attack. Purely terrorist. Way too many holes to be filled. The reason behind these terrorist attacks? Twofold. One, more control over we the people under the guise of security. Now keep in mind, we haven't had a terrorist attack on American soil since it. There's been a couple of scares, probably also setups, like the Christmas Day bomber 2009, probably a setup there. The shoe bomber, Richard Reed, I think was his name. I wonder if he's any relationship to Harry Reid. And this was, what, a few months after 9/11, just to keep us scared again? Yeah. And also, so that the legislative and executive branches could work together on lies like this food terrorism to pass more restrictive and unconstitutional laws. Listen on. A key intelligence source, unnamed, has confirmed that the threat was credible, of course. Department of Homeland Security officials, along with members of the Department of Agriculture and the FDA, all run by the White House, have briefed a small group of corporate security officers from the hotel and restaurant industries about it. Small group. That means maybe a dozen guys. Most likely, if any terrorists had been planning on poisoning the food in hotels and restaurants, their rooms would be paid for by Homeland Security or FDA or USDA. It's highly unlikely and very improbable that any such threat ever existed. A key intelligence source was most likely the agent who called CBS News to get their cooperation in planting this story just prior to the last-ditch effort to pass the unconstitutional assault on food production and supply, Senate Bill 510, leaving it to the lamestream media to do their part in the crisis creation that the federal government has become so famous for. Works every time. Just prior to every rights-robbing assault on America, the media joins the intelligence sources to float some bogus report meant to scare us into compliance. The FDA and the USDA jumped into the fray to flex their newly empowered, overreaching, unlawful authority. And here's how Dirty Harry Reid pulled off the hostile takeover of agriculture. Then, on the floor of the Senate, in the late afternoon, early evening of Sunday, December 19th, just last weekend, Reid called the recycling bill for a vote, and there was no objection from the two other senators who were on the floor. So by unanimous consent, H.R. 2751 was passed. Then Senator Reid moved for the reconsideration with the vote to be tabled. This was granted by the same unanimous consent because there was no other senator on the floor. When Reid offered, without objection, amendment to number 4890, which substituted S-510, the food safety bill, the recycling bill, without any objection, the amendment was passed and the food safety bill had been substituted for the recycling bill. Reid moved that the bill be read for the third time and asked for the questions. Without objection, the bill passed and the food safety bill was on its way back to the House. There's more on this lame story where we got screwed as Americans after the break, guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. Two-way radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, guys, welcome back. We're still continuing on with this story from the last segment about S-510, the food safety bill. So, as if that whole story I finished up with in the last segment wasn't bad enough, that we cannot trust either the government nor the mainstream media to relay anything remotely resembling the truth about anything whatsoever. The national groups and organizations who claim to be defending and looking out for consumers, farmers and ranchers, many times the same groups who take grant money or contracts and avail themselves of numerous cash resources from the government in addition to their PayPal buttons, have bound it into the net assuring everyone that the passage of S-510 is somehow kind of a good deal. Multiple emails from individuals who've made a living off the misery and fear of those already being targeted in advance by the FDA agricultural Gestapo are landing on the net faster than you can say, I work for the government all along. The last 2 weeks have seen some of the most unethical, deceptive, manipulative, and outright traitorous actions by both the House and the Senate, as predicted long ago. When Dirty Harry Reid, scumbag in Nevada, leading the traitor's charge, every rule was broken, every trick was used, every deception was employed to force the passage of S-510 against the will of the American people, most of whom recognized this hostile takeover of agriculture for what it was. Now, coming on the heels of S-510, the hostile takeover of agriculture, is the America's Great Outdoors Bill of 2010, which is the hostile takeover of land, water, mineral, mining, timber, and whatever other resources that belong to the states, now to be owned and operated by the federal government and any number of its privately owned sub-corporations that masquerade as public service agencies. Just in time to squelch the outrage over these acts of aggression against the people, comes also the new rulings from the FCC, which will end net neutrality. The days of the free internet and the free flow of information are about to come to a halt. In just 2 years, they have taken over healthcare, food production and distribution, trampled on free speech, spied on us relentlessly and unlawfully. They read our emails, our snail mails, listen to our phone calls, keep records of virtually and absolutely every single thing they can find out about each and every one of us that they think they can use against us later. The rant on ransom foods in California saw Canadian agents accompanying California agents in this raid. Excuse me, but wouldn't this qualify as an act of terrorism by a foreign agent? While an estimated 22 million middle-class workers could find no work, our government allowed 2 million to be held for ransom until tax cuts for the upper 3% were extended, claiming these are the people who create jobs, of course. No one in either house mentioned the loss of 600,000 manufacturing jobs since 2002. Guys, we are getting completely screwed. We saw Obama agree to a treaty with South Korea, which will cause a loss of 179,000 jobs over 5 years. But they say they're working to improve jobs. We've seen the Supreme Court give corporations the right to influence elections. Okay. They don't really give them the right. They just allowed it. The one thing that we are completely getting screwed on, completely screwed, is the passage of all this filthy legislation by both houses of Congress in their lame duck session, the last chance for socialism until they can find a way to reinvent themselves as Democrats and get another bunch of Obama coattail writing SOBs to fill all of the vacancies coming up, the House, Senate, and White House again. They've got to reinvent it and figure out how to do it again. Now, here's the poll. That was the push. Here's the poll. Congressman Ron Paul, every single legislative session, introduces a bill that would require any House bill to name the section of the U.S. Constitution that grants authority for the bill if it were to be passed. So here's the story. At the height of her campaign for President Obama's plan to nationalize healthcare decisions, outgoing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi famously quipped, "Are you serious? Are you serious?" when she was asked about its constitutionality. But that question won't need to be asked in the coming Congress, where Republicans will hold the majority in the House, because of a rule proposed by Speaker-designate John Boehner and other Republicans that would require those proposing legislation to cite the constitutional authority for the plan. Here's a quote. "The pledge to America released by House Republicans in September of this year included a commitment to require every bill to cite its specific constitutional authority. To implement this proposal, the transition team and the elected Republican leadership are recommending a change to standing rules of the House to require that each bill or joint resolution introduced in the House be accompanied by a statement citing the specific powers granted to Congress in the Constitution to enact the proposed law." Now, Pelosi's remark about the constitutionality of Obamacare, part of which already has been declared unconstitutional by a federal judge, came in a brief encounter with a reporter of CNSNews.com. The reporter asked, "Where specifically does the Constitution grant Congress the authority to enact an individual health care insurance mandate?" A very reasonable, well-articulated, well-asked question. After a pause, Pelosi gathered her thoughts and replied, "Are you serious? Are you serious?" Then she turned around and walked away without answering the question. This is an elected public servant blowing off the freedom of the press. Now, the incoming Republican leadership intends to preclude that question. The published memo from Boehner, Majority Leader-elect Eric Cantor and others, said the new requirement for a citation of constitutionality, quote, "will apply to all bills and joint resolutions introduced in the 112th Congress, including those introduced on the first day." Here's text from the new paragraph of Rule 12. "A bill or joint resolution may not be introduced unless the sponsor has submitted for printing in the Congressional Record a statement citing as specifically as practical the power or powers granted to Congress in the Constitution to enact the bill or joint resolution. The statement shall appear in a portion of the record designated for that purpose and be made publicly available in electronic form by the clerk." Now, even the soon-to-be former House Speaker Pelosi is not going to be granted any slack. Quote, "When a member presents a bill or joint resolution for introduction or referral, the bill must be accompanied by a separate sheet of paper citing the constitutional authority to enact the proposed bill or joint resolution, according to the plan. Here's an example. This bill is enacted pursuant to the powers granted to Congress under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution. Or, this bill makes specific changes to existing law in a manner that returns power to the states and to the people in accordance with Amendment 10 of the United States Constitution. It is the responsibility of the bill sponsor to determine what authorities they wish to cite and to provide that information to the Legislative Council staff. The adequacy and accuracy of the citation of constitutional authority is a matter for debate in the committee and in the House. The rules simply require that the bill be accompanied by a constitutional authority statement. No statement, no bill. Under the new rule, the clerk will not accept the bill and it will be returned to the sponsor if it doesn't have the statement. How about that for a little smile? Stay tuned, guys. More to come. You're tuned in with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, we're going to finish up with this introduction into the House, changing Rule 12, that every piece of legislation that goes through the House must cite constitutional authority for it to even be entertained. Now, the biggest target of constitutional challenges in Obama's short tenure in office has been his signature accomplishment, Obamacare. There have been multiple lawsuits filed challenging the constitutionality of forcing Americans to purchase government-approved health insurance policies or paying a penalty to the freaking IRS for not having insurance coverage. You want to get out of that whole scheme? Get a hold of Dave Champion. Go to nontaxpayer.org, become a client, learn how to get out of the Internal Revenue System. It's not screwing the system, guys. It's not signing all the forms and later claiming, hey, I don't have to file taxes. It's removing yourself from the system. Get his book, Income Tax, Shattering the Myths. I've read it. It's wonderful. I'm a client. Get out of the system. Then the IRS has no jurisdiction over you. And you don't have to worry about Obamacare. Now, the cases have argued there is no authority in the Commerce Clause under which the program of Obamacare was fostered to require people who don't want to participate in an economic activity to do so or pay that penalty. Other questionable stances adopted by the president have been outlined by Judicial Watch, the Washington-based honesty in government organization that listed Obama again on this year's list of 10 most corrupt politicians in Washington. The biggest constitutional question facing Obama is whether he's eligible to even occupy the Oval Office. We've talked about it many times. The U.S. Constitution requires presidents to be a natural-born citizen, but Obama's proof of that status has never been revealed. Thousands of pins, buttons, bumper stickers, billboards, and radio talk show hosts like me, they question America and challenge the minds of millions dealing with this natural-born citizen clause. Where once barely half of Americans even knew there was a question over Obama's ability, recent polls now show that nearly 6 in 10 have doubts about Obama's eligibility. So then, if Obama is not eligible, let me ask you this. Would that not make every single thing that Obama has signed, every single appointment he's made, pardon me, to the executive branch, the two Supreme Court appointments that he has made, would that not erase everything and just back the entire truck up? Hey, you weren't eligible to hold the office. Therefore, everything that's been done since you've been in office is null and void. Kagan, you're gone. Sotomayor, you're gone. Obamacare, gone. All these filthy bills that the Democrats have been doing to exercise control over the last 2 years, gone. Would that not be the case? Every executive order, gone. What about the theft of the American money in the form of stimulus? What about that? Well, I'll tell you this. In this day and age, the government gets away with whatever they want because we, the people, are not stopping them. Now, here's a little story about a guy, U.S. Congressman, the only one who is an admitted Muslim, who took his oath of office with his hand on the Quran rather than the Bible. That's Representative Keith Ellison, a Democrat, imagine that, out of Minnesota. These are the same people who elected Jesse the Body Ventura as governor about 10 years ago. Well, Representative Keith Ellison, Muslim Democrat out of Minnesota, says that the borders will be irrelevant. Really? Now, this came at the so-called spiritual conference, where Ellison called for the U.S. borders to become an irrelevancy, was led by a slew of extremists, including a Marxist who repeatedly compared the Tea Party movement to who? Hitler and Nazi Germany. I love how that happens. We, the conservatives, compare the power grab of the Democrats to the Nazis. But then you get the Democrats who are doing the power grab calling the conservatives, we need to stay at ground level when it comes to constitutional authority and government, as Hitler's. Now, I don't understand that. How can the people that want government to have less control and the people in states to have more control possibly be compared with Hitler? They were all about government control and taking over. That's what the Democrats do. It just comes from an ignorant mouth. Just an ignorant, filthy mouth. It's just empty words. Now, of course, conference speakers include radicals with deep ties to Obama. Imagine that. Recently, TheBlaze.com, founded by Fox News host Glenn Beck, posted a video from a conference led by the Network of Spiritual Progressives, or NSP. Again, empty, meaningless words. Network of Spiritual Progressives. Progressive is the new word for socialists bordering on communists. Now, NSP, in which Ellison, the first Muslim member of Congress, declared to about 400 attendees that, quote, God willing, the U.S. border will become irrelevant. Now, does that mean Allah willing? Stated by Ellison, quote, no security policy position can be premised on military might. The way it works is we are a country guided by ideals of equity, generosity, and engagement in our relations with other nations, and those philosophical ideas create safe borders. And, God willing, Allah willing, one day the border will become an irrelevancy. Now, let me correct you, Congressman Ellison. This country is not guided by ideals of equity, generosity, and engagement in our relations with other nations, and those philosophical ideals create safe borders. We are not guided by that. You are a lying piece of garbage that has no idea what this country was founded on. I suggest starting with the Declaration of Independence, then moving on to the Constitution of the United States, followed immediately by the Federalist Papers. You know what the Federalist Papers are there, Ellison? They are a guide to interpreting the Constitution. It's not all about ideals of equity. Generosity. Now, equity means everybody's treated the same. Okay, great. Generosity means wealth redistribution. Engagement in our relations with other nations. What that means is the New World Order, one world government. And those philosophical ideas create safe borders. Ideas do not create safe borders. Armed men with guns create safe borders. You know, you can bomb it. You can burn it. You can douse it with deadly chemicals. But until you put a man with a gun on the ground, you do not own it. We own our borders. And the only way to keep them safe is to have men with guns there keeping the criminals and the ones who would do us harms out. Stay tuned. More to come.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong, and this is not where you belong.
This is the week of Christmas. Undoubtedly, many of you are going to get guns for Christmas, which is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Or maybe get some sort of a certificate or some money, be able to go out and get guns after Christmas. That rocks. Do it. Now, I want to expand on a little bit that I said in a show a couple days back about messing with your defensive guns. Now, a lot of guns need some work done to it. Maybe a trigger job here or smoothing up the action there, whatever it might be. I want you to keep something in mind. If you have a defensive handgun that you're going to carry defensively out and about on the streets, even in the home, and you take this otherwise good out-of-the-box, good, clean, defensive handgun, and you have a lot of work to, done to it, like a real fancy trigger done to it, like instead of a standard 5.5-pound Glock trigger, you put a 3.5-pound ghost ring connector and polish up all the firing mechanism, blah, blah, get it down to about 2.5-3 pounds, right? Which is dangerous to carry, by the way. Way too light. You don't know the difference between the slack and the press of the trigger. And do you ever have to actually shoot somebody with that gun? That gun's going to go into protective custody. The cops are going to get it. The lab geeks are going to get a hold of it. The firing ballistics testing, gun-knowing gun scientists will get a hold of it. And they'll be able to tear it apart and see exactly what you did. That can then go to the district attorney and say, you know, it looks like you could potentially look at this. The DA will look at it and say, we could potentially look at this as though this man or woman who had this gun and shot the bad guy, otherwise a good shoot. But, you know, we don't like guns. We don't like, you know, people shooting each other on the streets. So we're going to look at this gun very carefully. Oh, look at that. A lot of trigger work done to this gun. Fluted out the magwell. Smoothed out all these different internal parts. All of these kinds of things. Wow. It looks like you were preparing to shoot somebody. And in fact, prepared not just the gun, but yourself to the point where we could argue that you were looking to shoot somebody. So we're not going to look at the facts of the case so much. We're going to look at all of the preparation you did in an effort to shoot the guy that you did. Not what the guy did or why you shot him, but that you were preparing yourself to do it. And look at this gun and all of the modifications done to it in an effort to shoot this guy. That's an argument that can be made by the DA. Even if the DA doesn't do it. If the person survives or their family, who there will be civil litigation. They will sue you personally. And they'll look at your gun. Say, wow, you really did all these modifications. Looked like you were looking to shoot somebody or it made it easier for you to shoot somebody. Therefore, you want to be very careful about anything that you do to modify a defensive gun. Hunting gun, big deal. Bambi's not going to shoot you. Bambi's not going to sue you. And Bambi's folks aren't going to sue you. And the deer DA are not going to file charges. Okay, so you don't got to worry about Bambi shooting you, suing you, going to court on it civilly or criminally. So smooth out your hunting rifle. Same thing with your shotguns. The ducks, the geese, the sage grouse, the quail, whatever you're going to hunt, it doesn't really matter. They're not going to care. The advantage is most decent, good quality hunting rifles and shotguns come ready to go. Most decent out of the box defensive handguns are good to go. Now, if you have to build up, say an AR-15 or something, or you're going to build up an 870 shotgun or a Benelli M1 or Benelli M4 or a Benelli Nova or a Mossberg 500 or 590, whatever you're going to build up, all right, into some sort of defensive shotgun, that's fine. Just be careful with the internal workings and parts. Now, one of the things that I have done and have recommended to some friends to do, if they have a polymer magazine, like say that for a Glock, take some 800 grit wet dry sandpaper and get it wet with some sort of, just use like a household oil, 3-in-1 oil, WD-40, even a gun oil, doesn't really matter, and smooth out the body of the magazine so they go in smoother, they come out smoother, so that changing the magazines is easier. And that's something you want to do when you're out on the range practicing. You don't want to have hang-ups and hold-ups. If you're on the street and you've got to change out a magazine, maybe the one you've got is giving you trouble, or it's empty, you got to put a new one in there, or it's just simply time for a tactical reload. You've already shot the first dude or two or three. There's a lull in the gunfight. Time to take out the depleted magazine, top it off with a fully loaded magazine in case more bad guys come out of the woodworks during this lull in the gunfight. You don't want your magazine sticking. Metal magazines shouldn't have that trouble. If you have polymer magazines, smooth those things out. Again, 800 grit wet dry sandpaper does the trick just fine. You can even start off with it dry, right? And use a 400 grit. Get it down smooth. Then get the 800 grit. Get out some sort of an oil so it's wet and sand it all down. And you don't need to do the entire body of the magazine, just the top half. That's all you need to do. That top half is the top half that really engages in the gun. That's all you really need to do. Therefore, when you take out the bottom half, still is a little bit gritty, you can still hold on to that. So just the top half of the magazine is all you really need to do. Don't sand inside the actual magazine catch. Sand around that. Okay? That's where you see the little indentation in the side of the magazine, which catches the magazine release, holds a magazine in place. You hit the magazine release, and it releases inside there and drops out. If you manipulate that too much, really if you manipulate it much at all, the magazine's not going to stay in the gun. It'll go in, chamber around, shoot, the magazine will drop right out of the bottom. That's something you don't want to have happen. It's happened to me. The magazine hadn't actually sanded in there, it just got worn in, actually a Glock magazine. Well, that magazine got pitched. So, if you're going to modify a gun in any way, be very careful with those modifications and don't go too far. Same thing with ammunition. I'm not a fan of the hollow point expanding ammunition. I think that that's the science of hollow points is one of those things where you tell a lie enough times, people start to believe it. The actual shootings where hollow points have been dug out of people in the emergency room or at the coroner's office, those actual shootings show that those hollow points rarely do what they claim to do, and that is sufficient penetration and expansion through the human body. All too often, the hollow point cavity gets clogged up through some sort of clothing, or it just is not a reliable design because they shoot it into bare ballistic gelatin, not clothed, certainly not with any bones or different densities of organs in there. It's just this goofy ballistic gelatin. It's not accurate enough. Not by a damn sight. I say go with ball ammo. The problem with ball ammo, people say, is overpenetration. It's got to have terminal performance if it actually overpenetrates. Most common round to overpenetrate, actually, 115 grain ball 9mm. So my suggestion is carry something heavier. Carry a 147 grain ball. 115 grain ball, if it does overpenetrate, is it going to kill somebody on the other side? That's the question. Is there terminal performance causing death or serious bodily injury? if that happens to be an issue for you, buy heavier ammo. Don't carry that one round in that one grain weight. Carry what you're going to carry. I suggest you do not carry some massive killer round that you brewed up with your reloading press. Don't carry hand loads in your defensive handgun. If all else fails, you want to carry hollow points. And it's okay where you live. In some states, there's problems with hollow points. Find out what your state or local police carry and carry that. That's easy enough to do. Just ask a cop. So that is what you should carry defensively. Ball ammo, or find out what your local or state cops carry in a hollow point, and you should be fine. You can easily articulate your way through there.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com.